Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
New Churches!
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and that is Todd Atkins.
Yep.
All right. So, on our 51st podcast recording of the day, not seriously, but it feels like that.
It does.
We are going to be talking about breaking the 200 barrier. Not specifically about breaking the 200 barrier, but issues around that. It's a great question that came in from Byron, so let's listen in.
Hey guys, Byron here from Texas, and have a question about breaking the 200 barrier. Our church is about 3 years old, and we're moving into our very first permanent location, and we've really bumped up against the 200 barrier for the last 6 months. We'll get up to about 200, drop down to 150, get back up to 200, drop down back to 150. And the number one thing that I hear from people in our church is that when we hit close to that 200, community begins to break down. We got groups, we got two services, we got a growth track, next steps type class, but still community seems to break down around that 150 number. So what is your best advice to getting past that problem, and what other kind of pitfalls do you see when you hit up against that 200 number? Look forward to listening and learning from you guys along with the rest of our team. Thanks.
All right. I love Byron. He is, I think, getting up to
200.
Having some,
he's talking about breaking the 200 barrier on asking 200 questions.
No, I mean, he has asked a lot of questions recently. He is getting up to probably the number of questions Rob Clark asked from Saskatchewan.
Potentially.
Yeah, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
What's wrong with the people in the middle? The rest of you, between Texas and Canada, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Why aren't y'all asking more questions?
Yeah, speakpipe.com. My voice cracked right there.
Speakpipe?
That's how passionate I am about this. Speakpipe.com.
Have you been listening to Platt again?
Your best friend?
He's not my best friend.
Well, you have a good camp photo together.
We do have a good camp photo. Yeah. That was from 20 years ago.
Yeah. All right. Speakpipe.com/newchurches or newchurches.com. Hit the sidebar on the right and you can hit send a voicemail. We would honestly love to answer your question. All right. So back to the question. And before we get to the community side of it all,
right,
I did want to share something that's recently been interesting about my church.
Okay.
So our church, we have two campuses.
Right.
Our campus, the first campus that launched, it's probably been like five or six years ago now. About 2 years ago, we bought a factory or bought a warehouse and redid it and went in. Before we went in, we were averaging about 80 to 90 adults per service in a school gym. We went in, we built the team, Len Taylor, Scott Matthews, you know, the whole team has been great. The elders and how they built out the building, and they basically built it to the point where they could add on, tear down walls to make it bigger. But we recently took down the back wall of our auditorium because we were growing so much. I mean,
Did you say, Mr. Gorbachev? Tear down this wall.
No, but
all that
to say, 2 years later, after averaging 80 to 90 adults a week, we're now at like 250-ish on low Sundays with bigger space. Now, I say that because, yes, we're going to address the community side of it all. But until we broke down that last part of the wall, all I could think of is the wall.
Tear down that wall. Before,
until we did that, we weren't, I mean, I don't think we were hitting over 200, maybe on a rare Sunday. But now we have the space that allows us to hit around 250 a Sunday-ish. So I guess that's my question. I mean, they have two services, but how packed are each service?
Well, the first thing I was thinking is, I'll tell you what not to do.
Okay.
And that's, don't start a third service to try to deal with your problem.
Yeah. And why would you say that?
I would say that because two services get you a force multiplier, and it actually really, really helps you from the from the opportunity side, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, now somebody can serve and go to church. There's just so many ways that two services are great, and it doesn't cost you much for the multiplication potential that you get.
Mm-hmm.
But three services does the exact opposite, and it really, really messes you up because it spreads you so thin.
Volunteer-wise. Especially when you're like at 150 people.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, yeah, 150 people in two services, that's the other dynamic. If 150 people are split between two services, how many you're going to have in each service? Maybe 60? Or maybe you have like a service of 100 and another service of
60, Daniel, because then it wouldn't be 100.
No, you know why I said that? Because you don't always get that. I mean, even if you have 150 people.
You should have told me it's because kids.
No, because not everyone's in the auditorium.
Yeah, there are other places.
Yeah, exactly.
Donuts.
I was assuming that. I'm good at math, Todd.
Well, you are from Canada.
Yes. I'm also Korean.
Oh, what are you trying? You're a racist.
No, not at all. Koreans are. There's actually
studies.
No, there it's actually in the okay. You know what's really annoying about English and math?
What?
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Those numbers,
right?
It doesn't make any sense, and that's why actually, haven't you read this in Malcolm Gladwell?
1, 3, 1, 4, 1, 5.
Yeah, yeah. In Korean, it is 1, 1, 11 is 1, 1. You know, it's like, no, it's 10, 1, and then 10, 2, 10, 3, yeah. 10, 4, 10, 5. Yeah. Anyway, that has nothing to do with
then
this.
You wouldn't know how to call people on a radio because people would get really confused about 10-4. That's why we don't do it.
No, but you don't actually say 10-4.
You do. Because then you couldn't talk to your good buddy anymore.
You could say over and out, though.
10-4.
Okay. Buddy.
And about half our listeners just said over and out to us. You're right. Over and out.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Okay. So before we get into digging through this, because I do want to talk about the idea of what that looks like, the dynamic of space. We'll get to the community side of it, but I do want to get to the dynamic of space. But before we do that, I do want to say that today's episode is brought to you in part by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid has a library over 3,000 training videos. The work has been done for you in creating all that content, and it's just super easy and simple to train everyone in your church, your volunteers and your leaders. This is training you can trust. Ministry Grid, every video in Ministry Grid features an experienced ministry leader like Paul Tripp on discipleship, Will Mancini on vision, right? I mean, just the list of leaders goes on and on and on. What were you going to say, Todd?
Nothing.
Okay, and you can
nothing
also
train helpful.
You can also customize all your training by adding your own video, PDFs, all that stuff. And Ministry Grid, the best thing about it all is that there's one plan, one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. All you have to do is go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com. Okay, so how much, Todd, do you think the dynamic of maybe 50 to 100 people per service is preventing them from growing beyond 200?
Well, I mean, it does depend on the environment of the service and group dynamics. I mean, I would encourage you to do just a little bit of research on it and look at group dynamics and where groups break down at different numbers. You've done a lot of this work, actually, Daniel, from a mid-sized community perspective. Yeah. That's how we met.
Yeah, that's
is
true.
Is you actually came in to do grid training on mid-sized communities. So,
yeah, well, 5 years ago.
So if I had, and in that scenario, it's, well, I have a church of small groups, but it's a really large church. How do we, you know, bridge that? And it's, oh, mid-sized communities. But in a lot of ways, mid-sized communities need to be in place depending on the way your church breaks down as far as classes and the size. So some larger churches would say, well, that is a mid-sized community. Mm. But I don't agree with
there's,
that.
Yeah, there's different, you behave differently in each space. So let's say your auditorium, and it's, I wish I knew the size of their auditorium, but let's say the auditorium seats 100 people, right? Or let's say it seats 125 people, and one of the services you have 50. Well, that's the size of a mid-sized community. But honestly, if you go to, if there are 50 people there in a service, and you are taking up less than half of the seats in the auditorium, it will feel lifeless. Not saying that it can't be more energetic, or I'm not saying anything about your church, Byron, but it can feel lifeless when there's less than, you know, more than half the room is empty. So for that service that is smaller, what I would do is, I know this will take a little bit more time to set up, but actually not just rope off the seats that aren't being used, but pipe and drape so that when someone comes in and, you know, you have 50 people there and there are 75 or 80 seats, you only have 75 or 80 seats, it feels fuller. And when you have that dynamic, it'll actually lean you more toward that 100 plus person public space dynamic that is inspirational, that can be built toward momentum, right? The biggest thing about most churches is we don't take into consideration the importance of size dynamics and what people assume normal behavior is in different size dynamics, right? So I would relook at your space, relook at seating, relook at all of that to see, when people come to your church, is this an environment that is exciting, that is inspirational, that they want to invite their friends to? You know, is there that dynamic? Because you need that invitational culture in order to get beyond 200. The other thing that I would say as it relates to community is to think about the idea of mid-sized communities. Once you get over 200, everyone's not going to know anyone anymore.
Right.
Right. I mean, under 150, you're going to be able to tell, people will be able to tell when a newcomer is there or not, because you generally know everyone. But over 200, that loses the dynamic. And as a result, it's harder for people to reach out to others, especially after a few embarrassing times where they're like, hey, are you new here? No, I've been coming for 2 years.
Right.
Oh, and it's going to really prevent them from asking that again. So as a result, when you think about the size dynamic of your church and the importance of mid-sized communities, what that allows you to do is it allows people to feel the momentum of the church and to actually feel like the church is still small, even though the church is getting bigger. Because you may actually have people who are sabotaging the growth of the church because they don't want to sacrifice the closeness of the church.
Right. And, you know, your people are always going to be stickier than your preaching.
Yes.
So if they come and they get to interact with people outside the church in a mid-sized community in somebody's home, or even if it's at the church, wherever you can build those things, it's not a small group where it sometimes can feel awkward, you know, entering it. When it's a larger gathering like that, it's a safer place to really connect with people. I'm going to meet five or six people, probably one or two of those guys I'm going to actually click with and have a 20 or 30 minute conversation. And so when my wife asked me if I want to go back, I'm going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
And who did I talk to? Oh, I talked to, you talked to, that was her husband. Awesome.
Yeah.
And so the cool thing.
And what I saw about all that is the coolest thing is now you don't just know 10 people in your church, you know 50 people in your church.
Right.
And then it's the whole 6 degrees of separation thing, where even as the church keeps on getting bigger, people will still feel like it's small because they know they're always bumping into people they know. And that really does create more of an invitational culture. So, I mean, I write about this quite a bit in my book, No Silver Bullets. So there's a whole chapter on the whole idea of that size dynamics and how that relates to discipleship. So, yeah. So breaking the 200 barrier, pitfalls. Any last words on pitfalls as I get up to 200?
It was my favorite game on Atari growing up. It was.
I don't think I played that one.
Oh, my goodness. It was this very pixelated man who would run, and it was really simple graphics and really simple noises. So when you were like swinging over a tar pit, and it would go, and you fall down in a pit, it would go.
I was a, what was that?
Whoop,
what was that alien? What was that alien guy? The Centipede? One that had the long nose.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, what is that?
I have no idea.
Okay, if you listeners, if you know what I'm talking about, just tag us on social media. Todd at Todd Adkins. My handle is at Daniel Sangi. That's my Korean name, S-A-N-G-I. Let me know, because I'm blanking. Hey, recently though.
Yes.
Because I only played like Asteroid and Donkey Kong and this game. Have you played Atari recently? Like, you know, on those like classic Ataris you can buy?
I tried one, but it was like 3 or 4 years ago, okay. And it wasn't that great.
Because it's painful.
It is painful.
Like, it's the reaction time, everything. I was like, how did I play this?
You had a different reaction time.
Yeah. And we didn't know anything else, right?
No, we didn't know any better. So these games were awesome. I still, yeah. You know what? My kids still think they're awesome because they play a Wii. They think that Wii is great.
They don't know about the Switch?
They don't know about anything beyond a Wii. Because people will be like, hey, have you heard of this game? My son will be like, have you heard of Mario Kart?
I got to go down
Kirby
to your
Epic
house.
Epic Yarn?
I got to go down to your house and challenge him again.
I would not do that. I would not go well
better?
For you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It will not go well for you.
Is he drifting?
He does it all, my friend.
All right.
Like, he's got everything you can possibly get on the game because he has my genetics. And so then, that's not to say he's good at anything.
But just obsessive.
Obsessive. Yeah. About, I have to get every possible, you know,
so he's
star coin.
All the reverse courses, everything.
Everything. Yeah. All the cars. Yeah. Everything. And if you win this many races in this way, you can get this special. He knows all that stuff. And
he know what a game genie is?
No.
Yes. See, then he doesn't know anything. Because game genies were magnificent. All right. We're not advocating genies or anything like that, in case you're wondering. But with that, hey, listen to the Established Church podcast. Speaking of game genies, Sam Rayner, Micah Fries, and Josh King know what we're talking about here.
Micah Fries would make a great genie. He would.
You know, Robin Williams, you know what he got paid to be the genie in Aladdin? It was something like $100,000 or something dumb like that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then later on, because no one thought the movie was going to do well.
Right.
And it like blew up. And I think he went back and he was like, dude, what's up with this? You only paid me this much, even though I make way more. I was supposed to make way more.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I don't know. Anyways, Disney bought him a Picasso.
A Picasso?
Yeah. They're like, okay, here you go. Here's a Picasso.
Huh.
Yeah.
Nice, I guess.
So would you have rather gotten like a couple million dollars or Picasso?
A couple million dollars.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Nothing.
I can get the Picasso poster.
Yes. That's good enough. Just frame it well.
I
could draw my own Picasso. Okay. So on the Established Church podcast.
I know a place in New York where you can get that for really cheap.
All right, on the Established Church podcast, you will not hear about Picasso, Aladdin, or genies. Yeah, maybe. But they did talk about Christian celebrities, holy sexuality, pastor approachability recently. So just look up EST on your favorite podcasting app. Subscribe today. And thank you again for listening into our podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.